Coming to you via the internet and your friends at PipesMagazine.com, it's the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. The weekly show that asks you to celebrate, smoke to the music. Now, I invite you to sit back, relax, the smoking lamp is lit. Here's your host, Brian Levine.
Oh, welcome to the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. Yes, the sometimes irreverent, sometimes educational, but always entertaining weekly pipe smoking broadcast. And I'm your host, Brian Levine, coming to you from the recording studio built here at my home just outside of Orlando, Florida. Still hard to say. This week in Pipe Parts, we have an Ask the Pipe Maker with the pipe maker, Jeff Grasek. And then my guest is a revisit back with Kevin the Hobbiton Piper, and we check in on him and how he's doing in the Shire and get caught up with him. It's been over 2 years. Wow. And then we have music, personal music from my selection, and you'll hear about that. Mailbag and rant, all that coming up on this week's episode of the Pipes Magazine Radio Show. Boy, 2 weeks until... a little bit over 2 weeks until we head to Chicago for the Pipe Show. Hope to see a lot of you there. Come up, say hi, don't be afraid, I don't bite. Unless I'm hungry. But in Chicago, there's always really good food around, so I won't be too hungry. And we will have Dave and I will have a Las Vegas International Pipe Show table at the show, so stop by and say hi there. It's going to be kind of hard to find me there because I really don't like standing at a table all day. I am too fidgety for that anymore. So, yeah, do stop by and see me. I'll be in the smoking tent starting probably Thursday afternoon if flights go well. And then heading back home on Sunday night because I get to spend some time here in Florida with a dear friend. And you'll hear about that too. All right. And, big news. Yeah, the old house in North Carolina went under contract, so that's a big relief. In a couple months, it'll be somebody else's new house, and no longer have to worry about it from a long distance, so happy about that. All right, let's get the show rolling. So everybody sit back, relax, fire up a bowl. Thank you all for tuning in, and here we go.
Excuse me, Mr. Collins, but the show is starting. They need you on stage.
Just 1 minute there, Charlie. I'm placing a bid for this great item on 10bids.com. Ever heard of them?
Oh, sure. The Pipe Collector's Auction site. Well, I just sold some nice things on there myself. Say, you don't see much of that anymore.
Yes, you sure don't, Charlie. But 10bids.com sure has it. They have vintage and luxury tobaccos, pipes, accessories, you name it.
Tom, baby, we need you on stage.
Okay, Ed, visit 10bids.com, the pipe collector's auction site, and sign up for free today.
We have arrived at 155. Missouri Meerschaum Company has been authentically crafting corncob pipes continually for 155 years. To celebrate, we're hosting a 155th anniversary celebration on Saturday, September 28th, 2024. There will be ticketed working plant tours, an exhibit on the corncob pipe industry by Skillet Fork Pipe Museum, a live podcast of the Gray Woody Show, a smoking tent for your enjoyment, and so much more. The 155th anniversary celebration will be held in conjunction with Downtown Washington's Fall Festival of the Arts and Crafts, with food, beverages, live music, and over 100 vendors. Visit our Facebook page at Cool Smoking Pipes for fun event updates and more information. Missouri Meerschaum Company, since 1869.
We're back on the Pipes Magazine Radio Show, and joining us for Pipe Parts is the pipe maker Jeff Grasek of the J. Allen brand et al. Or any other designs included.com Esquire copyright. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me back.
You know, the amazing part for me is I don't think I've ever introduced you the same way twice, and I think we've done about 40 of these or so. Mm-hmm. So my mind is
no. You always keep me guessing. I don't even know if you're referring to me some of the times.
I don't even know what I'm saying some of the times. I just know get to the welcome to the show, Jeff part.
Yeah. We got there.
I have no map. There's an end of the tunnel. That's it. So our friend Gotham, who writes to us, and he had, we actually got to meet him for the first time in Vegas in October. That was fun.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Gotham, thanks for the question.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
He says, hey, Brian, have a question perhaps worthy of bringing up on the show. And this goes, oh, boy, we are way behind. This goes back to last May. Here it is. Where do high-volume pipe makers such as Graybo source their briar? I've never bought a Graybo, but I've seen many estate Graybos that show incredible resilience after the beating a prior owner put the pipe through. Makes me wonder if they are as low-end as I perceive them to be, or are they workhorses that are worthy of trying? Kind of like how I occasionally will fire up a corn cob and really enjoy the experience. What are the pros and cons of a drugstore pipe like a Graybo? And Jeff is showing me a virgin Graybo in a blister pack.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Unopened, American flag and all. Like, this is, it's legit. This was a gift from your friend and mine, Tim Garrity, from the Chicago Pipe Club.
Does it say in case of emergency, break plastic?
It does not. It was to celebrate. He said, you know, doctors of pipes should have this pipe. Of course, I'm a master. I'm not a doctor, but we can all hope.
Someday. Yes.
Someday.
You need a few.
Maybe, you know, if all I get is a Dr. Grubo out of this, then that's fine too.
You need a few more wrinkles and some gray hair finally.
Well, good thing the listeners can't see my wrinkles.
Yes. Well, whatever. That warm California sun. Ha!
Yeah. Ha!
All right. So is there a difference in the quality of the briar that they're buying? Are they, do you know? I would assume they're buying a bunch of briar and they're not sitting there hand-picking them in the briar mills going, I like that one. I like that one. They're just probably going, send me a pallet full.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't speak to Dr. Grubo like specifically because I've never met anybody from the company and I don't know where they source their briar. But I will say, I'm looking at the blister pack right now. And not only does it guarantee that it is a smooth smoking pipe, but it is made from premium imported briar. And, you know, we'll take them at their word on that. It is both imported and premium. So not firewood. This is good stuff.
But it's not good enough that you still haven't opened up the pack. You've left it sealed.
That'll destroy the value. I like the display in the pack. I think it looks cool.
Is this like your Han Solo action figure that you have from?
This is going on Jedi. eBay in 20 years, my friend.
Yeah.
This is a collector's item. So, you know, I not knowing specifically what Dr. Grubo does, I can say that factories in general or high production pipe facilities tend to buy by volume. And what they'll do is they'll say that there are designations for that all the briar mills use for different types of shapes. So say they want some Ebichons that are that they're going to make, let's say, seven different shapes from, and they need to be the same dimensions. There's a designation for that. It's call it like R3 or R1 or something like that. And that is meaningful to the factories and to the briar mills. And so they'll take a whole bunch of those and put them in bags. And they usually sell, at least the stuff that I see, the Plateau briar is usually like one gross of blocks inside a bag. Now, they might, when they're sending to a factory, they might not do 144 to a bag. It could be by weight. So they'll weigh a certain amount of cut and cured and aged briar into a bag and load them onto a pallet, as you said, and then deliver them to the manufacturer. And they'll probably be sorted by, so they're sorted by shape, like the R2, R3, like I said. and also by the quality. And so the factory might say, I don't know what the quality designations are, because I am buying outside of that kind of that schema that they've got. What they might do is they might say, we want things that are, if there are five grades, five being the highest, they might say, we want a palette of briar in these shapes, and we want them grades 1 through 3 or 2 through 5 or something like that. And then they'll send those to them.
Are these the same briar mills that you're getting some of your blocks from, or are there different kinds of briar mills? So is there a briar mill that only specializes in cutting, you know, high grade burls and special cuts for you?
Yeah.
Or is there a guy
that's a good question.
Yeah. Let's put it this
super,
way.
Super, super good question.
Is there the grade A steak company and then the sausage maker down the road?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good question. One can't exist without the other. So a briar mill does not get grade A, high grade pipe maker burls. They don't just like, they get, all they do is get a truckload of burls. They're not sorted beforehand. And so they don't know what they're getting until they get inside. They start cutting those things apart. And so naturally it follows that they can't just produce briar for me.
Right.
Or for Tom Altang, or for Costello, they have to cut whatever briar they have, and so they will then sort the briar that they cut into different areas, and they, like, the super premium stuff goes to pipe makers like me, and then they sort all the other things and cut them to different sizes. Now, when I visited the Mono Briar Mill in Tuscany, it was 2018, we got to see this in person. So they cut a briar block. They cut it right down the middle. The cutter then examined it, and he started working into it. And you might have one burl that will yield multiple blocks of briar. You have other ones that are so filled with flaws, he won't even cut any further than that first cut. He'll just cut it up into pieces and throw it away, because that's going to fuel the boiler.
Yeah,
that they use to boil the briar later. But then as they're working with it, like, say they start out, he's like, oh, this looks nice. He starts cutting a block for me. And as he's cutting away the flaws, he realizes it's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Well, then he cuts it into a factory size block, and then it goes into a pile for the factory.
Okay. So that's when the sorting happens. And he might, and those pieces for like a factory pipe situation, like we're talking about with drugstore pipes. I mean, those blocks might be just 2 inches by 2 inches by 3 inches, where you're looking for stuff. You need some meat. Yeah.
We need a lot more to work with, because again, you're going to find imperfections on the inside of the block anyway. And so we need, the bigger the block and the more uniform the grain, the better for us, because that gives us just something to work with. And there's plenty to cut away and plenty of creativity that can happen on the inside of the block.
Do you know, like, the price difference between your, like, one of your most expensive blocks that you've ever bought and some of these mass market drugstore blocks?
It's a substantial difference. I'm going to ballpark it, okay. But you're talking, a couple dollars for a block for a factory.
Right.
If not lower, it could be maybe between $1 and $5, something like that. I might be lowballing that, but that's I think that's pretty fair. Let's say under $10, and the blocks that I'm buying are like no less than maybe $30 a block, and they can go upwards of $100 for like super, super, like, large, nice ones. So it's, and then again, you can get inside, you know, let's say a $50 block of briar, and you got to throw it away. So they're like, the factories, if that happens a lot at that price point, then we stop buying them. And the factory, so like the mills are incentivized to make sure that what we're getting is something that's going to be as good as they can guarantee. Like, they obviously aren't x-raying the blocks, but yeah, there's to Gotham's question, the origin of the briar the burls that they're coming from and the fact the mills that are cutting them, they're the same, very same ones that are cutting and sourcing for me.
Yeah. So it's just size matters.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Size. And you know, it's grain quality and then visual imperfections. There are some visual imperfections that are, that you can see as you're cutting it that are acceptable for a factory setting that are not acceptable for handmade bite makers.
So it goes back to the old saying of eating high on the hog, which was the better part of meat off of the hog, and then the bad part of meat was on the bottom, and that was all the cheaper stuff. And
that's the sausage making stuff.
Yeah. So yeah. There you go. All right. Hope that answered the question, but I actually learned something, maybe. I don't know. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
We'll be back in just a minute.
This is Internet Radio.
Since its beginnings in 1876, Savinelli has become more than just a pipe factory. It's become a lifestyle. From sourcing the finest Mediterranean briar and partnering with local artisans to acquire unique accents, to expanding their catalog each year with new innovative series, Savinelli produces high-quality Italian pipes that serve as a reflection of your individual tastes. With a portfolio that ranges from rugged designs fit for the outdoors to elegant pieces destined for black tie galas, Savinelli is more than a mark. They're a way to help you make your mark.
We're back on the Pipes Magazine radio show, and joining us is a voice from the past. Yeah, we're checking back in with, from YouTube, Kevin the Hobbiton Piper. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you texted me and invited me back on the podcast. It's always such an honor. I really appreciate you thinking of me.
Yeah, and I wanted to follow up with you, and then I looked and I realized the last time you were on the show was August 10th of 2021. That was show 465. Math is not my strong suit, so that's like 130 plus weeks ago. So I was like, well, I'm glad you weren't sitting there waiting for my phone call and holding your breath.
It's been a little bit, but I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. All right. So what has the Hobbiton Pipers YouTube channel been up to, and how are you doing?
Doing great. Really enjoying it. Just trying to create videos with longevity in mind. Just meaning like whenever down the road someone was to stumble upon a Hobbiton Piper video, that it would still be relevant and informative and relaxing, just like your podcasts are. I can go back and listen to any of those and they're still great. And trying to create YouTube videos like that. So if you've never seen a Hobbiton Piper video before, hopefully you could go and watch any of them and have a good time and maybe learn something and just have an opportunity to relax with your pipe.
Do you specifically try to make the videos so that they're evergreen?
I try to. That's very difficult to do because you want to talk about, you know, things that are currently on your mind. But when it comes to pipe smoking, it's definitely a topic where if you are mindful of that, then you can make it in a way where, like you said, it's evergreen and it's an opportunity for people to come learn about a pipe tobacco blend review that you've done, or a pipe story about a pipe that's in my personal collection, you know, talk about it, or how-to videos, or even started a Middle Earth pipe smoking playlist now, which I just barely scratched the surface on. So those are just videos with references to Tolkien's works in some way. And then possibly the most popular category on the channel now is the Smoke With Me series, which is just where I load up a bowl and encourage the viewer to do the same. And then we just relax and I talk about some pipe related topic. So usually the videos are going to fall into one of those categories. And like you said, trying to make them relevant today, but for tomorrow as well.
And you're not also, I mean, if I remember right, you'll tackle the occasional off topic idea or concept, or, you know, just kind of a what's going on in your life kind of thing.
I will. There are occasional videos that are offshoots like that, but primarily what I record these days is normally in one of those categories that I just described.
Have you been able to keep consistent with producing videos along with having a life and actually doing things and stuff?
Great question. So when I first started, I was putting out videos often, several times a week. And then as you go along, like you said, life gets in the way, work gets in the way. That reduced down to, you know, maybe weekly. And I'm probably putting out videos now a couple times a month. But I try to make sure that those videos are good ones. So quality over quantity, as they say.
Oh, that's the opposite of this show. It's quantity. Quantity over quality. yes. More is better. With YouTube, you gauge reaction to a video by how many, you know, how many downloads you got or streams or whatever, and then the comments. So what are the more popular videos? What are the videos that you're more proud of? Because oftentimes they're not the same.
Yeah, so the most popular video, I think, to date was when I talked about some of my favorite pipe lighters and how to use them. And so that was a popular video. Some of my reviews, my pipe blend reviews, have been very popular. I just take my time and tell stories and really try to break down the flavor profile as best I can. And then, like I said, the Smoke With Me series, there's some videos within that have been very popular as well. So a pretty wide range of topics and video styles, I guess, when it comes to that sort of thing that people are enjoying. So that's great to see.
Are there videos that you thought, wow, this one's going to be really good, and then just nobody watched it?
Early on, especially, yes. Yeah. That happened all the time. You kind of get a feel for what people are enjoying, and I try to stay in one of those lanes usually when I put something out now.
Yeah. Now for me, I've been at this long enough where I'm going back and revisiting ideas and revisiting people. Have you thought, you know what, maybe I'll go back and revisit some of those ideas or some of those things that I talked about in the early shows?
Yes, but you know what? I have a video ideas list, Brian, that is so large. And part of that's just from my own mind, but a lot of it is from viewers who say, hey, you should make a video on this, or you should talk about this. And I actually keep up with all those in a list. And so I've got more video ideas, Brian, than I have time to record. It's I could put out new content if I had the time and energy on something new for a very long time. So I have no shortage of ideas.
You're coming up on I've got your YouTube channel in front of me. Again, it's Hobbiton, Hobbiton, Piper, Piper. You're just over 9,000 subscribers, but you can't really get monetized. You're doing this just purely for fun.
Yes, they really restrict monetization when it comes to anything dealing with tobacco. If I mention the word tobacco, or if I show myself smoking, or show the tobacco leaf, it's immediately locked down for the most part. Very limited ads allowed. The channel is monetized, but that's really just as a way for people to donate to the channel if they want to through Super Thanks donations, which they can do on any video, old or new. They can make a Super Thanks donation and support my efforts in that way. But this is not being done to become rich by any means, Brian. This is it's nice when people show their gratitude in that way, but I'm just doing this to hopefully be an ambassador for pipe smoking and to help pipe smokers along the way. So that's the goal anyway. That's always been the goal.
Yeah. And how's the atmosphere on YouTube? What's going on? Anything interesting on YouTube? Any other YouTube channels that are kind of new in the last couple of years that you really like?
Oh, there's lots of new channels. I was thinking about this just the other day, Brian. There's normally about 200 to 300 active pipe smoking channels on YouTube at any given time. Mm-hmm. We're talking about new startup channels. We're talking about older channels that no longer make videos. Some that take a break and then they resume making content again later. And the presentation styles vary greatly. So there's something for everyone. And that's great. I mean, we don't all have to be the same. The YouTube platform really allows for great diversity and choices for everybody. I realized in my first year of making videos that what I believe pipe smokers who watch YouTube could potentially benefit from, that I could provide, was just a positive, encouraging, relaxing, drama-free, politics-free channel that was almost purely focused on pipe smoking. So we're talking about pipes, pipe blends, how-to videos, helpful smoking tips, and also just to be an available smoking buddy that they could share a bowl with virtually at their convenience with, like I said, the Smoke With Me series. So, and then I wanted to put a priority on really interacting with every single one of them if I could, if they were to leave a comment. That was an aggressive take because that's very difficult as the channel grows. But that's something to this point I have been able to do. I may miss somebody. It's not intentional, but I try to correspond with, even if it's brief, everyone that takes the time to leave a comment on any video, old or new. So that's been my approach. One thing I wanted to make sure I never lose sight of, though, Brian, and hold me to this, is when it comes to YouTube, people come to YouTube to learn how to do something. For example, like, my toilet's broken. How am I going to fix that? So I go to YouTube and I type in how to fix a toilet. Or you want to learn about some certain product. So you go to YouTube and you search for that. So when you have a pipe smoking channel, you are always going to get a lot of brand new pipe smokers.
Yep.
Because they're coming to YouTube to learn about pipe smoking. And so a large part of your audience on YouTube is always going to consist of a lot of new pipe smokers. So I try to speak with that in mind on my videos. I want everybody to feel welcome and to be inclusive of all of our brand new pipe smokers. But then I also want the content to have value for experienced pipe smokers as well. So that's sometimes difficult to balance, but that's been the goal.
Boy, you ain't kidding. All right. I know that feeling. We're going to take a break right here. When we come back, we'll have more with Kevin the Hobbiton Piper. So stay with us. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Reeves, head blender of Cornell and Deal. We know pipe smoking is a personal journey. That's why our small team of blending and production experts take a personal approach in every step, preparing tobacco products just for you. We source top quality leaf through the personal connections we've made around the world, hand blend that leaf, and carefully package each tin. Each product, from special releases like our small batch line to our most popular mixtures like Autumn Evening, are made right here in South Carolina by professionals dedicated to providing the finest of smoking experiences. Lighting up a pipe is an exploration through evolving flavors, thoughts, memories, and even dreams. From our hands to yours, Cornell and Deal tobaccos are your passport for that voyage, provided by people who, like you, value the journey.
We are back on the Pipes Magazine radio show and hanging out with Kevin the Hobbiton Piper, live from the Shire, I would assume. real quickly, I went and looked at one of your videos that's like 2 months old, and you had 319 comments on the one video. So have you thought about hiring an assistant hobbit to just answer your mail or something? Because, wow.
It's a lot of comments. People love interacting with the channel, and I'm glad because I appreciate hearing from them, and I'm thankful that they care about what I have to say and that they care about my opinion. So, again, trying to keep up with all that, I have to block off some time to say, okay, I'm going to spend this half hour responding to comments, but I enjoy it, and I'll keep doing it as long as I can.
And then you have to go do exercises for your thumbs to keep them from cramping up and stuff.
That's right.
Yeah. I can't smoke right now. I've got thumb cramps from answering questions.
You have to learn to clinch when you're going to be responding to that many comments. That's for sure.
Yeah. Any revelations in your pipe smoking in the last couple of years? Anything kind of new or, you know, magical for you?
Yeah, I've really worked on slowing down my cadence, Brian, a lot, and trying to promote a slow smoke to viewers, because I interact with a lot of pipe smokers, Brian, via this channel and via the comments or email. And over these few years, it has really been thousands of pipe smokers that I've directly communicated with. And through those conversations, you really begin to recognize trends in pipe smoker journeys. And one of those trends is that new pipe smokers, they just smoke too fast.
Yeah.
I mean, many of the issues that they will want to discuss with me could be resolved if they would just learn to slow down, you know, learn how to sip the pipe for maximum relaxation and flavor, and just relight as necessary. That's going to help them with tongue bite and tobacco tasting, and help keep their bowl from getting too hot. I mean, just all the little issues that new pipe smokers face. So that's definitely one trend that I've noticed. And another would be regarding their blend choices. Because you'll know the answer to this. A new pipe smoker will often start out with what type of blends for their first experience.
Oh, wait, let me guess. Vanilla aromatic.
That's right. Aromatics. Mm-hmm. They will almost always start out with an aromatic, and that's so they can taste those flavor toppings. They can learn to detect that quickly. And then normally from there, they will dive into the English blends for that pungent Latakia experience that you love so much, Brian.
Yeah, my favorite.
Mm. And then normally there's that fork in the road where now they will either begin to appreciate the subtle nuances of the Virginias and vapor blends, or those blends may taste like hot air to them. They may not get much out of those. And in those cases, they tend to go down a burly road. Now, this is just a trend that I'm noticing. So you may find favorites in all those blend categories along the way, but that's definitely a common progression I've noticed as pipe smokers really start exploring what's out there and finding what they connect with. They start with the aromatics, they move into the English blends, and then they may go off into a Virginia vapor path or a burly path, depending on their preference. And then they'll find their preferences from there.
Is burly becoming more popular in the last couple of years?
I think burly's always been popular, at least with those that talk with me. Now, you know, you'll always have those blends like Haunted Bookshop and Pegasus and Old Joe Krantz. But there's a lot of burly-based blends out there that people really enjoy. I personally really enjoy some of the, like the Wessex Burly Slice, the Solani Aged Burly Flake. These are great burly blends that are out there. But Virginia blends really are definitely my wheelhouse now. If you want to know how things have evolved for me, I always loved Virginia blends, but that's definitely my wheelhouse now. I've unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, depending on how you look at it, been exposed to more McClellan blends since the first time we talked.
Yeah.
And I fully realize their awesomeness. Christmas Cheer, 40th anniversary. I mean, those are probably the best tobacco blends I've ever smoked. And I have very little of those. So as far as Virginia blends that are still in production today, I really, you know, invest in the Capstans, Astley's 109, McBaron HH Pure Virginia. I'm still enjoying Orlick Golden Sliced. So that's my wheelhouse for sure right now at this stage of my journey.
How has your pipe buying changed in the last couple of years?
Tripled, probably. It's tripled at least since we last talked. It's definitely grown. I've got a combination of Cobbs and factory briars. You know, I've got several Savinellis and Petersons and a couple of Costellos and a Dunhill. I've even got a few Artisan pipes now. So it's definitely grown a lot. I think that's just part of it. The longer you stay in this, the more you're exposed to the pipe choices out there, and you want to experience some of those. And then you want to marry up certain blends with certain pipes and find the right pipe for the certain blends. And it's a whole thing, isn't it? It's a whole big box to jump around in when you get started.
Do you get any pushback from the viewers of your channel when you start talking about like Dunhill Costello or the Artisan stuff, and people saying, well, Peterson and Savinelli are perfectly great. Yeah. Why should I push on further?
Great, great question. Yes. So this is how that normally plays out. A large portion of the YouTube community that watches the videos, like I said, are relatively new, and they are purchasing to start the lesser expensive pipes, like your corn cob pipes, some of your introductory factory briar pipes, and they want to swear by those because that's what they own and that's what they're able to afford. And those will always have a place in my pipe collection as well. I will most often, I believe, I would get more views if I were to talk about those things. If I were to talk about the stuff within the pipe smoking universe that's not quite so expensive. Mm-hmm. But I want my viewers to be exposed to all of it. So I do talk about cobs still today, but I will also show them, you know, a birth year Dunhill that I've just acquired, for example, and everything in between. So I want them to really get to experience everything there is out there by watching the channel and get a little bit of taste of everything.
You're not just making videos purely for clickbait and for views. You're making videos for your own personal diary and kind of your own internal blog.
Yes, that's true. I think you have to talk about what you know, and what you know about is your own journey. It's your own experience, and people enjoy listening to that. You know, what is your experience, and what have you learned, and what are your insights? And so, yes, there is some of that involved. But I also look at my content a little bit differently than some channels in that I try to create searchable topics that someone may stumble upon as they are looking for that review of Capstan Blue or that Savinelli 673 Romelu site. They'll find a Hopton Piper take on that. And so it's almost like songs on a playlist where you're trying to make tracks that people will enjoy now, whether they they view them now or view them down the road or find them later from a search. So it's a little bit of both. Most of my commentary from a blog type of standpoint would just kind of be mixed in to those topics. If I'm talking about a certain blend or a certain pipe, or then I'll talk about some of my own life in there as well, giving examples, stories, etc.
You've done a couple of videos without a hat on. I almost don't recognize you.
Yeah, I regret that. I probably won't be doing that anymore. So cherish those. Those are rarities. Yeah. I like wearing my flat cap. That's part of the look. So I need to keep that hat on. You're right.
All right. And I know, you know, listen, I also gave you the opportunity to bring some hot topics, bring a discussion, hit me. What do you got?
I want to ask you some questions. Can I do that?
Yeah. Bring them on.
What's it like living in Orlando, Florida now? I know it's a lot hotter there. That's going to affect your smoking. So tell me about that.
So far it hasn't gotten, we haven't had any real summertime heat yet. So there's been a few days in the mid to high 80s, but then the rest, just standard normal Southeast heat. But this is March. Yeah, according to the weather people down here, March has been hotter than usual. So if it's a ramp up, you know, we do have a pool, but by summertime we may be able to boil our Thanksgiving turkey in the pool, which will save us some money. But no, so far nothing pipe smoking has really changed for me just because of the location. But in reality, I am worried that I've got a good amount of heavier Virginia Periques that I would normally smoke during the last bowl or two of the night in the wintertime. I'm worried that there may not really be a significant enough wintertime to smoke a heavy Virginia Perique. And at the same time, I'm a little worried that, you know, those hot, humid mornings when I like my straight Virginias, well, those may go from 4 months to 6 months. And then what do I do? We'll see. I've also got to be a little careful because With this house, because we do have the pool and we've got the big screened in, you know, the screened in thing, I call it a bird cage. I think the birds call it a human cage. But I'm a little worried about leaving my pipes sitting out in the heat and humidity like that.
Yeah.
You know, what will happen to the briar? Will it swell if it, if I accidentally leave it out overnight? You know, I've got all those little things in my mental checklist. I do have a smaller six pipe rack with a little drawer that is going to be dedicated to a side table somewhere just inside the house from that little from the screened in human cage. And
right,
you know, so that way I've got some place to bring my pipes in from and set them down inside the house. You know, I've got a place to bring the tobacco in, so it's not sitting out there. Cause, I've done this in the past where I've left a tin out overnight accidentally. And by the time you get to it in the morning and it's 78 degrees in the morning and you open up the tin and there's a small rainforest in there with, you know, with tobacco that you can't get dry. So,
right. Well, I was jealous when I saw that you had been able to meet up with Russ Hicks.
Yeah.
He has become such a close friend of mine. He's been a mentor to me. If you haven't listened to podcast episode 524, everyone needs to do that. Russ is great. And I discuss almost every video topic with him before I create a video to get his opinion on the subject. He's a wealth of knowledge. His expertise is incredible. So I just want to say thank you to Russ for all of his support and encouragement in helping me with the channel. He's just been a really good friend to me, and I know he's a good friend to you. And you guys have a lot of fun smoking down there near Disney, don't you?
Yeah, we do. In fact, that was a lot of fun. We got together with them on two different evenings and got to sit, you know, sit and smoke, or in one case, stand and smoke, because there was only one bench, so we gave it to the wives. but yeah, Russ can also be dangerous if you hang out with him too much, because he's got such an incredible tobacco collection that he may just spoil you and ruin you and cause you financial harm when you try to go and buy that tobacco that he let you try, that he'd been, oh, I think I bought this in 1994, and you know, now I've been,
yes,
yeah. So yeah, but that's the, so the other fun part about being here in Orlando is that obviously Walt Disney World and, you know, the theme parks are a little bit more of a draw for people to come and visit than living in the Charlotte area with NASCAR. You know, so I'm hoping to get to meet and hang out with more pipe smokers from around the country and around the world.
Yeah. Now, is it true that he smoked some Capstan Blue from the '80s with you recently? I think he mentioned that to me.
So I was gifted a pocket jar full of some Capstan Blue that was from the '80s. I'd had a couple of bowls myself out of it before, and I brought it and I thought, all right, you know, fine, Russ, you're always bringing stuff from the '90s or from whatever. I'll bring this and we can, you know, we can smoke a bowl each, and it's not bad. It's pretty good. Yeah. Could use some Perique in it, I think. But
no. I thought you might say that.
Yeah. Now, honestly, the couple of bowls that I've had just by myself have been on the more warmer mornings when I was able to, you know, second pipe of the day, because I didn't want to screw up packing it. Because when you've got a tobacco that's that old and you're gifted, you know, a portion of it, you don't want to screw up packing the bowl. So
right.
I always make sure that I've had at least a cup of coffee in me so that I'm awake and can operate heavy machinery, you know, like my fingers and my thumb in a bowl. You know, and you want to make sure that you're up and going and everything's working fine for you. And then I also wanted to make sure that I had the time to get the bowl going and sit and really pace it and enjoy it. Cause like you talked about earlier, this tobacco just sings beautifully if you just let it go through its slow paces.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really.
Yeah, and that's true of so many blends, isn't it?
Yeah, and you don't really have to rub it out. You just kind of crumble it a little bit and put it in the pipe, and then, you know, don't be afraid to tamp and relight more often. You know, let it go out, bring it back, smoke it, let it go out, bring it back. Yeah. So yeah, it really does. It really does enjoy that. It also has I was trying to explain it to Russ, but it's got a little bit of that 1960s, 1970s fragrance scent, just a little bit in the background of it. That's just fascinating. And it could have been that I was wearing deodorant or perfume, you know.
So you mentioned coffee. Now that's something that mm-hmm. I really enjoy is coffee and pipes in the morning when I have the time and opportunity to do so, especially on the weekends. Tell me about some of your favorite coffee and pipe blend combinations.
Every cup of coffee and every pipe I've ever had with it.
Isn't it crazy how good they go together?
Yeah.
I think it must have something to do with the bitters of the coffee bean and just how that makes the tobacco taste naturally more sweet. There's got to be some science around that. But coffee and pipes go hand in hand. Absolutely. I need to make a video on that.
So my science behind it is I really like French roast and dark roast coffees. I like the dark roast a little bit more than just than the straight French roast, because the French roast has a little bit of a little bit of a bite or a little bit of a tang to it. Maybe a little, it might be a little more high on the acidity side than just a straight dark roast. I like a straight dark roast because it's got less caffeine per ounce than like a medium roast or a blonde roast. All this Starbucks breakfast coffee that's all the blonde roast, that's just high octane, that's high caffeine beans. They're just beans that have been lightly roasted, so they've got a lot of their caffeine left. I like coffee, and if I, you know, I tried finding a decaf that was great, but I still couldn't, you know, that was kind of like, you know, riding a moped to a Harley bar. I was like, I'm not just gonna, you know, never gonna do it. But yeah, so the, you know, the first two cups in the morning, I like that dark roast. I'm not ashamed to say I use a K-cup, a Keurig machine.
That's some information I didn't know.
And I go back to the fact that I said I didn't want to operate heavy machinery before I've had my coffee in me. I just want to close the lid, push the buttons. I've got the variable speed one that does the different temperatures and the different intensities. So, you know, the 2.0, you know, whatever version. But that, you know, those first two cups with just getting going in the morning, fine. Now, when it comes time to the third or fourth cup of coffee, that's when I will start playing and having some fun.
Mm-hmm.
Summertime, the afternoon cup of coffee, I really like a bean called Tanzanian Peaberry.
Mm.
And it's more of a medium roast. It's a little bit fruitier. So I would imagine the little bit of fruitiness. Well, I know for a fact the little bit of fruitiness works great with Virginias and Virginia Periques, because it's, you know, even the Virginia Periques have a little bit of a, most of them, the ones that I like, have a little bit of a plum or fig flavor to them and not so much of the pepper. So I'll play around with those. I might do, and this is where I'll sound posh and trendy. I do have a fairly good entry-level espresso machine that, you know, that's got the foaming thing and all that stuff, and yeah, I can really dial it in. So I will do I'll do what I call just a long shot, which is a normal double espresso, but I'll run it to about 5 ounces of water total, or 5 ounces of liquid. Instead of 2 ounces, I run it out to 5 ounces. And the reason I do that is so that I like the flavor and I want it to last a little longer than just a double shot would.
Right.
And that's just any Italian roast, French roast, Cafe Bustelo, you know, whatever I can get. I've got a burr grinder. It's the cheapest burr grinder I could find on the market because I'm not spending $800 or $900 on a grinder.
Yeah.
Because I'm not that. Yeah. Listen, if you put rocket fuel in an old Ford station wagon, it's still an old Ford station wagon. But yeah.
You're making me want to drink some coffee. That's what I know. You're making me want some coffee right now.
Yeah, as we're recording this, it's in the afternoon, and I'm kind of waiting to get done to have my afternoon cup of coffee, so thanks.
I think I may have to join you on that. That sounds pretty good after all that.
Yeah, so if you want to start doing espresso stuff, I have a Gaggia Carezza espresso machine, and it runs about $250-$300. Mm-hmm. And then you find yourself a grinder that you like that can be anywhere between $50 and $100, and then find the beans that you want. And I know the next step is coming down the road, and I'm just fighting it as long as I can until I start roasting my own beans. Yeah.
Yep.
That's just coming. But again, I still go back to the first two cups in the morning. I'm not suitable for operating really intelligent heavy machinery until I've finished the second cup. So those first two are mandatory requirements. And I really like the K-cups. I found a couple of K-cups that I really like that are from Amazon, and they're 30 to 40 cents per K-cup. And I like them. And you know what? You know, listen, my favorite tobacco was also the least popular Virginia Perique blend that McClellan ever made. And that's my favorite go-to. So, yeah, don't judge my taste.
Well, I have to admit that when I'm in a hurry, I do also use the K-Cups. But when I have time, I will brew a proper cup of coffee. So I do enjoy sipping on a cup of coffee, though, with a pipe. That's wonderful.
There you go. And we're going to wrap this up with a modified version of the Fast Five final questions. I didn't give you a chance to prep for it at all whatsoever, but I'm only going to ask you two questions. Are you ready?
Okay, yes.
Currently, what is your favorite pipe?
Well, that's like telling someone who your favorite child is at this point. But
yeah,
I would probably go with that Birth Year Dunhill pipe that I mentioned earlier. It's a Red Bark LBS billiard. It's in great condition. That one's pretty special.
And currently, what is your favorite tobacco?
McClellan Virginia's. It's not even close. But when I can't get those, I'm going to go with Capstan Original Navy Cut Flake, Capstan Blue. And no, it's not just because of Tolkien. It's because I've spent an incredible amount of time with that blend. And it's just an excellent blend that's still in production today, in my opinion.
It's because the only reason you like it. That's it. Thank you. All right, Kevin the Hobbiton Piper, thanks for coming on again. Thanks for hanging out with us, and keep bringing out good videos.
Well, thank you. Hobbiton Piper on YouTube and Instagram. Really appreciate you having me back on the show, Brian. We'll talk to you soon.
And we'll be back in just a minute.
For over 150 years, Peterson has welcomed all pipe smokers. It's the preferred choice of the thinking man and the everyman alike, and our workshop too is a place of hospitality and warmth. Hi, I'm Glenn Whelan, and for me, Peterson is a family tradition I've known since my childhood. My dad, Tony Whelan Jr., worked at Peterson for 53 years and has been my home since 2003. From sweeping our factory on a Saturday morning, to managing our store, to now steering our international distribution, I've seen the craftsmanship poured into each Peterson pipe. It lives in Jason's discerning eye as he handcrafts our silver accents, and in Wojciech's able hands as he carves our rustications. It abides in Willie's grading and in Warren's papering. Peterson has welcomed us as contributors to its legacy. And it's a welcome we always extend to you. Cade Mila Falja, 100,000 welcomes, wherever you come from, whosoever you be.
This is Internet Radio.
And we are back. And I love sitting down and talking to Kevin, because Kevin has that, you know, that real, the real Southern accent that... That, you know, is kind of a just a light one, and it's just comforting to listen to. Let me try to spit that out correctly. All right, so do make sure go over to YouTube.com and Hobbiton Piper, subscribe to him. If you have a YouTube account, I command you to go over there and subscribe to him, and watch his videos, give him a little thumbs up. You know, help him out. All right. For music, so part of living down here is several times a year there's festivals at the different parks, and the different parks have different kinds of music through. So far, since we've lived down here, we have seen the Newsboys, because they played at SeaWorld. We caught the last two songs of Rick Springfield at Epcot. Then we went and saw the Commodores at Epcot, and they played four songs in a half hour, and it was a lot of fun. Not exactly my kind of music, but still great performance. And then this past weekend, we went went down memory lane and went back to SeaWorld and saw the band Warrant. Warrant was one of the bands that I grew up with in the LA rock scene that made it kind of big, and they got two albums that broke pretty good. You get to hear one of the songs right now, and it's one of my favorites. It's called Heaven, and you know what? I just like it, so you get to hear it, and don't complain about it, okay?
Got a picture of your house, and you're standing by the door. It's black and white and faded, and it's looking pretty warm. I see the factory that it worked, silhouetted in the back. The memories are great, but man, they're really coming back. I don't need to be the king of the world, as long as I'm the hero of this little girl. There's a color deep inside, like blue suburban sky. When I come home late at night, and you're in bed asleep, I'll wrap my arms around you so I can feel you breathe. But I don't need to be a Superman. Rushing back and it makes it pretty hard. Like I know where left to go. No one really cares. I don't know what to do, but I'm never giving up on you. Closer to no matter what your friends say.
That is a perfect example of the 1980s rock ballads that were really popular back then. No auto-tune either. From Warren's debut album in 1989, the album's called Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinking Rich. So if you want to go back and listen to it, it's all on Spotify. Check it out. It's just fun music.
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
And remember, mailbag comments or questions can be emailed to me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. That's brian@pipesmagazine.com. Or go to the Pipes Magazine radio show page on pipesmagazine.com and post them right there, just like Dino did last week, going back to the show with Rich on. Dino says, I enjoyed the Treasured Tin Tour. It was great to again listen to our friend Rich speak of pipes, tobacco, and the community. I totally agree with his sense of loss for the pipe world that only we codgers experienced, and with his optimism for the future of our special community. Amble's Mariner Boy was wonderful. To Adam Jethro Floyd, a big thumbs up from me. Beats the hell out of Barroom Hero. Thanks for another always entertaining show. See you in Chicago, Dino. Yes, I will be seeing you in Chicago. Looking forward to it. Casey Ghost says, I enjoyed the review of your cherished tins. We all have certain tins that we covet over all others. I wish I had been as clever as you to store a bunch of my favorites, but alas, it was not to be. I belong to the crowd that believes tobaccos are to be smoked, not stored away. Rich is another of your guests that is very enjoyable to listen to. His insights into collectors and tobaccos were really good. His overall optimism for the future of our hobby was nice to hear. Despite being one of the elder statesmen of the hobby, he hasn't become near as crusty as most of us have. I enjoyed the music selection, though I doubt I could listen to a bunch as one sitting. Kudos to Adam Floyd for recommending it and for you selecting it. Southerners have their own unique ways of driving and telling with and dealing with the rather goofy ways they name things. Yes, they do. Let's see. Mrs. Pickles says, thanks for indulging my request for a tour of your tobacco collection, Brian. I love that the gift from your daughter has an honored place on the shelf next to those vintage McCraney's, McClellan's, McConnell's. Yeah. McCraney's, McClellan, McConnell's, McDonald's. Yeah. I wonder how vintage McDonald's tastes. Can't be too good. Andy SC83 says, hey, Brian, another great show, and I enjoyed hearing you go through some of your tobacco collection. I also enjoyed hearing from Rich, as I could listen to him talk about pipes and tobacco all day. I'm probably in the minority, but I thought Adam's music choice was great, and I think the J in his name stands for jabroni. There we go. Arrow English writes, man, I love hearing from Rich. Every time he says, look it, I can't help but smile. His passion for pipes is so infectious, and I love how he takes joy in the pipes other people love, even if he doesn't love them himself. The man just loves pipes. Question for Brian and Rich. Where do you guys talk pipes and tobacco with people? It's clear that neither of you guys get tired talking about our hobby and could do it for hours on end, but the two of you and many other prominent people in our hobby don't seem to be very active on various media, except maybe a little on Instagram. Some of the people on the forum could spend all day here and still not get enough of talking pipes, and I'm sure you guys are the same. I know you have weekly Zoom with some friends, but are there other things? I hope this doesn't come off as prying. I'm mainly interested in hearing what avenues people are using to connect about pipes and tobaccos. Well, for me personally, it's the Zoom group. It's 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 people that I text or Facebook Messenger with weekly. And then it's even people that I, you know, this old thing called, how do you say this? This old thing, dial the phone. Yeah. You know, dial the phone and talk to people. So create those phone relationships. There you go. And then finally, speaking of somebody that I know, Dave in LAX on iTunes or Apple Podcasts says, congratulations on 600 episodes of the Pipes Magazine radio show. I've enjoyed them all since day one. And yet you still wanted to partner with me in doing a pipe show. So thanks. Yeah. If you're on Apple Podcasts, go over there, leave us a rating review. Stitcher or Spotify, we're up to 96 of those 5-star things. I've got some notes on some of the comments that I've had from there. And then two last little comments here from Darkon Proctor. Enjoyed the pipe parts. This goes back to with Steve Fallon. Enjoyed the pipe parts. My method for the last bits of a tin is to add it to the top of some cube cut burley. I find the burley absorbs the flavor best and turns it into a burley forward version of whatever I just finished. Love the pipe stud. Your conversation made me even prouder to own my 1989 Dunhill Chestnut Group 5 Billiard Birth Year Pipe. Thanks, brother. Hey, you're welcome. And then lastly, from Brian Wilson, not of the Beach Boys, the other one. He says, hi, Brian. I just wanted to say how much I enjoyed the latest episode with Rich Esserman. Always a pleasure to hear you two talk about the history and future of the hobby. I think Rich and Fred Hanna are probably my two favorite guests of yours. I was looking through old episodes the other day and realized I've been listening to your show for 6 years now. Can you believe it? It used to be my weekly ritual that I'd listen to your show and Country Squire Radio every Tuesday after work. It really seems like time has flown by so quickly. I'm so grateful you're still here and look forward to tuning in every week. Hope you're well, Brian Wilson. Thank you very much. Yeah. And then just continuing on to the to what Adam's middle initial stands for, the J. Well, maybe it's because Adam might be from southern New Hampshire and partly redneck, so maybe it's Adam Jr. Floyd. Yeah, because a lot of southerners are named Jr., sticking with the southern theme. All right, and sticking with the southern theme, rant time's coming up next.
Take a look at your pipe rack. Are all those briars and mirrors constant companions in your rotation? Or are there some that you gravitate to more than others? Are there some that you simply don't smoke anymore? Through SmokingPipes.com's estate trade program, you can transform those underused pipes into immediate cash or store credit. Just send us your pipes and we'll unpack, inspect, and evaluate them based on extensive market research and over 20 years of experience. Then, we'll contact you with a detailed offer for your choice of cash or store credit, valid on any items in our vast selection of pipes, tobacco, cigars, and accessories. If you're not happy with our quote, we'll return your pipes free of charge to domestic addresses. It's that simple. Join the thousands of Smoking Pipes customers who have benefited from this program and start your trade today by contacting us at 888-366-0345. That's 888-366-0345.
There's nothing quite like fishing at dawn or smoking my genuine Missouri Meerschaum corncob pipe, an American legend since 1869. It's the coolest, smoothest pipe I've ever owned. Check them out at corncobpipe.com.
Cowboy. Cowboy.
And continuing with the theme from last week, yeah, that same drive that I talked about, the changes, names, 4 times or 3 times or 12 times, whatever the hell it is, I lost track now. That same drive to, let's just say, Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom. Changes speed limits, too, all right? So in our neighborhood, the speed limit is 25, and then you get out onto the street that's out in front of our neighborhood, that's 25. Then you turn right, and now you're on the road that changes names 4 times, all right? And when you get out there, the speed limit's 35. Then you go under a toll road, and the same road you're still on, the speed limit goes to 40, goes up 5 miles an hour. Yeehaw, right? Now, this is a two lanes on each side road with a little garden strip in the middle, and it's plenty fast. You could do 45 or 50 through there, but no, you got 35, then you got 40. And then it squeezes down into a two-lane road, just one lane on each side, just a yellow line down the middle, and what does it do? It speeds up to 45, all right? Now, it's already changed names three times, and when you get to, there's one turn that you got to make that's a three-way intersection, and when you make that turn, you're still on a two-lane road with just a yellow line down the middle, and then grass and alligators and all kinds of trees and stuff. That speed limit jumps up to 55 for about a mile and a half, and then you hit some neighborhoods, and then you got to slow down to 45. And then you finally get to make the right turn into the back of the Walt Disney World property, and the speed limit for the first quarter of a mile is 25, and then it goes back up to 40. And then you take that road, and you go around, and you get by the hotels, and it goes down to 25. So, all these speed changes and everything, I think they do this just to catch you in a speed trap. That's all I can say. All right. Comments, questions, email me, brian@pipesmagazine.com. Apple podcast ratings, reviews, much appreciated. Remember, Google Podcasts is going away. So if you're over there doing that, we're not throwing this show on YouTube with just a picture. So you'll have to find it somewhere else. Spotify, please leave those thumbs ups, five stars, whatever they do. And I've got some Q&As from those. So keep those coming. Keep sharing out the Pipes Magazine radio show with all your friends and family, and remind them that, you know, they're there for you to listen to anytime you want. Looking forward to seeing a lot of you in a couple of weeks. I hope to give you a good report on Chicago. And thank you to Jeff for joining me. Thank you very much to Kevin the Hobbit and Piper. Thank you all for tuning in, and until next time.
About the clouds when we're together, just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet.